I feel like the Lord wanted me to share with you some encouragement in the Lord, in faith. And, you know, if you get the wrong relationship with God in your mind, you get discouraged, you get depressed, you give up on conquering sins that, of course, we can't afford to do if we want to bear fruit. And a lot of that's because of the devil has really pulled a trick on us. It's because we've gotten into a law relationship with God instead of a faith relationship. And we've gotten our eyes back on the problem instead of on the Savior. And we just kind of need a reminder, you know. Because even people who have been in the Lord for many years get tricked by this and have to stop and think and get back in a right relationship with God, which is by grace through faith. And faith calls the things that be not as though they were. You know, we see the end from the beginning. We don't get our eyes on the things that are. We call the things that are as though they were not. And so this causes us to be justified before God. If we don't have this faith relationship and we're just thinking we can do better, we'll try better next time or whatever, well, then you're under law and you're separated from Christ, according to the Galatians chapter 5. And you're just not going to overcome that way. And you get more and more condemned until you finally just throw up your hands and decide to live with your sin. Or your sickness. Or anything else that you ask from God. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 11 and 23. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it." Wow, that's one of those awesome, all-inclusive statements there. We need to be confessing him before men. He is the high priest of our confession. He offers our confession that is before men and before the angels. He offers that before the Father, who is the one that gives us back the grace that we need to live it out, and to see the miracle, and to see the sanctification, and to see the deliverance, etc., etc. And we need that power from God. All the power is His. And His power is made perfect in our weakness. But you see, people aren't weak when they're kicking themselves, mumbling, complaining, moaning and groaning and begging God and so on and so forth. There's no faith there. And we need to offer an offering of faith for our high priest to offer this to the Father. And he goes on to say in verse 24, he says, "Therefore," notice the therefore that's there for something. It's there because he's going to explain this confession, this speaking against the curse. He's going to explain it. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them," or received actually in the received text. It has a footnote there, and the Nestle's text and other texts, it's past tense. "Believe that ye received them, and you shall have them." Now, what happens when you receive things? Well, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. So you believe it in your heart, and you speak it out of your mouth. That's what he said. So, if a person believes they have received, Mark 11 and 24, they're going to speak and not doubt that what they say will come to pass, Mark 11 and 23. And what is this applied to? All things whatsoever. It has to do with your salvation. It has to do with your healing. It has to do with your deliverance. Now, the devil tricks a lot of people. He gets them under condemnation because they failed again. As soon as they start thinking, oh, I should have done better, kick, kick, kick yourself, you know, then you're saying that you could do it without God. Because now you're not talking faith. And what you get for faith is grace. Actually, what you get for faith is justification. That means accounted righteous. And for that, you get grace, you see. So you're not even on the right road. If you don't like the sin and you don't believe you can overcome it, then you're looking at the wrong person. You should be looking at God. He's the one that's already overcome it. And your confession has to be in agreement with the word confession means to speak the same as. You have to say what God says about you. He saved you. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. He made you free from sin. Say what He says. And that's how you get grace from God. Condemnation, self-justification, because some people, when they get tired of fighting the battle, they just start justifying themselves and denying God's Word. No, if the Word says you've sinned, you've sinned. If the Word says you're wrong, you're wrong. But, on the other hand, you can confess your sin. You can turn to your high priest and give him the confession, the good confession that's supposed to be given in the sight of many witnesses. You can give him that confession. And then you're justified. And then the grace comes to you to overcome this. He works in you to will and to do of your good pleasure. Of his good pleasure. Yeah, of your good pleasure. Of his good pleasure. Praise God. Yeah, we're glad it's that way, right? And he goes on, I don't want to leave this part out, verse 25, and whensoever you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, you will stop growing, you will stop receiving, you will stop getting the benefits of God if you don't forgive, because you're not forgiven, so you're not justified. If you're not justified, you don't get the grace that you need, the unmerited favor of God given to you to overcome. Do you understand? So you must forgive. That doesn't mean criticize somebody. Don't mean run around talking about people behind their back. It doesn't mean any of those things. A critical, judgmental spirit is evil in the sight of God. He will give you no grace. He will judge you. You know, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for our sins. When a person is not forgiven, there's no sacrifice for their sins. No, Jesus has not taken the penalty for your willful disobedience. Now, if you hate the sin and you want to fight against it, then give God the faith because He's the one that will give you the power. Right? So you have to remember that. Now, whatever it is that you've been struggling with for a long time, and maybe some of you have given up, you're full of discouragement and depression. Well, neither one of those is faith towards God. And as long as you're doing that, you're either believing God is not going to answer, or He's taking His time, which He's already answered. He's already given it to you, you know. Or you're believing you should have done better, and you're not. And, of course, the devil loves that because he jumps in there and condemns you. He condemns you for continuing on in this sin. When the only problem you got is you either haven't confessed it or don't believe that you're delivered of it. You've forgotten the gospel, the good news. You got to get your eyes off of the problem and on to the Savior. I know I've shared this with you, and I'm going to share it with you again. Many years ago, I had this revelation. I saw myself walking through some woods, coming up on a stream of water that was flowing downstream, and I jumped off in the water flipped over on my back with my eyes up towards the sun. And while when I did that, I started floating upstream. Totally contrary to the natural laws. And the law of sin and death is a natural law. The curse of sin and death is a natural law. Well, I was floating upstream as long as I kept my eyes on the sun. Shortly, I began to realize there were other people with me floating upstream. And then we came to this point in the stream where someone had stretched a tent out over part of the stream. And I noticed as we were floating upstream, some of the people that were with me floated up underneath that tent on their way upstream, and they could no longer see the sun. S-O-N. And when they could no longer had their eyes on the sun, they sank to the bottom. Well, I got out, and I got on the shore, and I saw the ropes that held the tent up hanging over this stream, and I cut the ropes, and the tent fell into the water and started going downstream. And then I made these floats to float the people up off the bottom. And as soon as we floated them up off the bottom, we continued on, you know. So the whole point is, you cannot go against human nature. And people preach that all the time. You're always going to be a sinner. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't go against human nature unless you get your eyes on the Lord and what He said and what He has done for you. If you get your eyes on yourself, that's like sinking to the bottom. You got your eyes off the Lord. You're under the curse. You know, the water is both a blessing and a cursing, God told Moses. It's a curse if you don't obey it, and it's a blessing if you do. Well, how can you obey it? Well, you can't go against your nature. Your nature will whip you every time. You can go to God, and God will put it will work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You go to God by faith. You give the high priest of your confession, Jesus Christ, a good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And He turns and He gives this to the Father. As a high priest, He has to have something to offer. That's what He offers. That's what the Bible says. He gives this to the Father. And the Father, because it's been offered by the high priest, accepts your offering. There's one mediator between God and man. He accepts your offering. And when He accepts your offering, He sends back the grace that you need to overcome this sin, to be healed, to be delivered of demonic bondage, to be delivered of some kind of curse. All of this has already been done. It's already been accomplished. It's not a matter of you talking God into it. It's all been accomplished. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If your mind is into those works, though, your works, not God's, and you fail, then you feel condemned because you failed. And the devil's right there to tell you, oh yeah, you failed. You're no good, you know. You'll never make it. And God's not listening because you're bad. Well, it's just, I know I'm oversimplifying things here, you know, but that's the way it is. And so we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute, I'm thinking wrong here. I'm calling the things that are as though they are. I'm not calling the things that are not as though they were. You know, I'm not believing I have received when Jesus told us to do this with everything. And that's how we get justified, by faith, not by our works, which are failures, but by our faith, which gives us God's works, which are never failures. Right? Awesome. Awesome God. Great plan. He made it so that even the weakest and frailest of us could do it. It's not our might, you know. It's God's might. It's our faith in His might. Right? Amen. And so, obviously, we're not to be double-minded by doing what? By looking at the promise and then turning and looking at the problem. We're not to walk by sight. We see the problem. We know the problem. We've lived with the problem. We're not to walk by sight. We are to walk by faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. And as soon as we lose sight of that, we sink. We sink. And the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not." I felt that it waver not, the confession of our hope. It's what you're hoping for. What do you hope for? Healing, deliverance, blessing, provision, deliverance from the curse of some form out there. You hope for that. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. And He tells us in verse 38, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." How do you shrink back from faith? Well, you fall into unbelief. What is unbelief? You don't believe it's done. You don't believe the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. You don't believe the gospel. You're looking at the problem. You're calling the things that are as though they are. But God says, "Call the things that be not as though they were." Okay? Totally the opposite. You got your eyes on the problem. You're discouraged. Sometimes you're justifying yourself. You're depressed. You don't want to think about it. Somebody brings you a correction and you jump on them because you don't want to think about it. You don't want to face it no more. It's painful. You've had enough. And you just don't want to hear it. Somebody wants to help you to grow, but you just don't want to hear it. Back in verse 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day drawing nigh." So people are supposed to help you, encourage you, correct you, point out this. You know, if you get self-righteous about it, and self-justifying about it, well, you get mad at them. Well, then you're justifying it and you're continuing on in it. You're not forsaking it. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries." You're going through the fire. What's the quickest way out of the fire? Well, first of all, confess your sin. Confess it as sin. Don't justify yourself. Let God be true and every man a liar. And when your brother or sister wants to come and help you, don't get all rejected. Don't get all self-righteous. Don't make an enemy out of them just because they want to tell you the truth. Because that's what they're commanded to do in that verse. Did you notice? Okay. So, look in Romans. I'm going to share a little word of justification here. Romans chapter 2. And I think I will start in verse 25. "For circumcision indeed profiteth, if thou be a doer of the law. But if thou be a transgressor of the law, thy circumcision is become uncircumcision." Well, what's he talking about? Well, he goes on just a little further down, as we'll read in just a minute, to speak about circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart is when your flesh is cut away. When it's manifested, that old flesh is dead. It's not going to bother you. Well, if a person walks in their own ways and stubborn
justification and willful disobedience, their circumcision has become uncircumcision. I mean, when we accept what God has done by faith, we're justified. But if we justify ourselves in our sin, we're not justified anymore. So, you know, baptism in the New Testament is the equivalent of circumcision, Paul said in Colossians. You know, when you get baptized, what you're saying is, I'm dead. Now Jesus lives in me. You go down in the waters, you're dead. You come up, it's Jesus. It's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. So, but if you just walk in your own stubborn self-will, just go on in your life not seeking to be a disciple of Christ, your baptism has become unbaptism. Just exactly like he's talking about circumcision here, which he said was baptism. And the circumcision he's talking about is the circumcision of the heart, as he's fixing to tell you. Verse 26, if therefore the uncircumcision keep the ordinances of the law, meaning those people who are not Jews, who are not recognized to have the covenant with God, if they keep the ordinances of the law and they don't do it by going under the law. In the New Testament, folks, when Christians or Gentiles or Jews or whoever becomes a Christian, they don't keep the law by going under the law. They keep the law by walking by faith in Jesus Christ. They're not saying, hey, I'm going to keep all the rules and regulations, therefore I'm keeping the law. That has never happened. So what makes you think you can do it? See, we got rules and regulations in the New Testament. You still can't keep them. Unless you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, then he puts a desire in you to keep them. But then it's his works and not your works, right? If therefore the uncircumcision keep the ordinances of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision? How can you be reckoned for circumcision? Because we're talking about circumcision of the heart, and you accept circumcision of the heart just like you accept baptism. You accept that the old man is dead. You don't care what you see. You're not walking by sight. You're walking by faith in what the Bible says. And he said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Consider it done. That's how faith works. But if you get condemned because you keep failing, it's always because you got your eyes on yourself, you got your eyes on the problem, you don't have your eyes on the Lord. And verse 27 says, and shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, and that, of course, comes through grace to fulfill the law, you don't fulfill the law by going under the law. It's like saying, okay, I'm taking all these rules and regulations, and I'm going to obey them, Lord. I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to obey them, Lord. And the Lord says, oh, no, you won't. And he just backs off and you just beat your head against the wall. Because you can't go against human nature. God is the one that has to reach down and go against your human nature. You're going to be what you are unless God makes you something else. And that's where grace through faith comes in, which is by nature if it fulfill the law. Judge thee who with the letter and circumcision art a transgressor of the law. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. You just need to remember this, folks. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Oh, you're into that, this or the other. They got their names for it and everything else. But the truth is, I'm just quoting what it says. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Well, you can be a circumcised in the letter and split hell wide open. Happens all the time. But you can't be circumcised in heart and miss the kingdom. in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Because who gets the praise of men? Well, the people that do it themselves. I mean, when God gives you a rule and you obey it of yourself, then you might get praise from men. But God won't owe you anything. He refuses. We'll read that in a few minutes. You're not going to be justified by the works of the law. You're not going to be righteous in God's eyes by the works of the law. You cannot be. You still got your old nature. And the Lord died in order to take away that old nature and nail it to the cross. Therefore, you can't say to your old self, well, old self, save me. That's what you're trying to do. Right? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. But as Jesus came and told them, they weren't really believing what was given to them. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. For what if some were without faith? Have you ever been there? We've all been there. What if some were without faith? Sometimes you don't feel like you have the faith that you need to come against your enemy or to conquer your flesh or to whatever. Sometimes you feel that way. So he's going to give you an answer here. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Well, I thought if we didn't have faith, God wouldn't help us. Isn't that what he says in James chapter 1? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not think not that he shall receive anything from the Lord, right? Oh, okay. So what's he talking about? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. So he's going to tell you what to do here. Yea, let God be found true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Now let's back up and look at that again. If you deny the Lord, if you're tired of hearing it, if you're discouraged, if you're condemned, the devil's condemned you until you don't want to hear it anymore. And so you start justifying yourself. Well, I'm okay. All that stuff that God's not even hearing. Then you're denying the Lord. You're without faith. But if you do not deny the Lord, if you say, I agree with the word, I'm wrong, and yes, I have done this. If you confess your sin as sin, yes, I have done this. Even though you don't have faith, you can get help from God. But if you justify yourself, you're not going to get any help from God. You've denied the Lord. You might have rejection. And because you feel pain at the thought of being corrected by someone, you begin to justify yourself and think that you have a right to judge them and be angry with them. Oh, you don't get anything from God like that. Nothing. You better get rid of that rejection. It's a trap. You will never grow beyond where you are right now. That devil has you. So, let's just say you don't have a lot of faith, but you're not denying the Lord. You're saying, yes, I have sinned. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, I don't want this in my life. Then who can give you faith, which is a gift from God? Exactly. Right? He'll give you faith. But he won't give you faith if you justify yourself and get angry with your brother. He tells you the cure here. He says, God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. And every devil too, a liar. Let God be found true. God, you spoke the truth. You did convict me of this sin, but now I'm justifying myself. And it's true. I know you don't change your mind, so you still don't like this sin. And get on God's side and hate the sin. And then it won't be you doing the sin, but the sin which dwelleth in you. I'll explain that in a few minutes. That's what God says. So he can give you faith for that. Justify yourself, he won't give you anything. And you won't grow, you won't bear fruit, and at the end of your life, you'll split hell wide open. So let God be found true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. It means accounted righteous in your words. Yes, you have sinned. Tell the Lord that. Yes, I have sinned. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. But you remember, Lord, what you promised, and I'm standing upon that. And I'm holding fast the confession of my hope, that it waver not. And I believe in you, Lord, for this mighty miracle. It's done in Jesus' name. Amen? That thou mayest be justified in thy words and might prevail when thou comest into judgment. See, God can help you when you come into judgment. He can help you. He can show you the way out. And he can give you faith so that you can get grace so that you don't belong under judgment anymore. You are now justified before God. Now, let me go on and explain a little bit about this. Let's go down to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Speaking about we, the Romans, are we, or Gentiles, are we better than the Jews? Are we better than they? Or Paul was speaking to the Romans, the overwhelming of which were Gentiles, and he's saying, are you better than the Jews? No, in no wise. For we before laid to the charge both of Jews and of Greeks, that they are all under sin. See, the Jews who came out from under the, or didn't come out even, some of them didn't come out, but the Jews that are in the Old Covenant, and even the Christians who are under the Old Covenant, for goodness sake, makes it ridiculous, but it happens. They're still sinners. Because the law could make nothing perfect. And the Gentiles, or the Greeks, that come to God with all of their sin, all of their baggage. He said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. No one comes unto the Son, saints, unless the Father draws them. If he doesn't draw them because they don't have grace, and they don't have grace because they don't have faith, then they're not drawn close to God. They're not seeking after God. Do you want to seek after God? Well, then you've got to give God faith so that he can give you grace, which is his favor, so that you can do the things that God wants you to do and that you would like to do if you're a true Christian. See, some people aren't Christians at all. They just don't want to live for Christ at all. They're not disciples of Jesus Christ. They have accepted Jesus, and they've got their toe in the door, and that's all they want in the door is their toe. Okay? So there's lots of people that just aren't Christians. So sorry. Verse 12. They have all turned aside. How many people come to Jesus and get caught up in dead religion? No power. Have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. They've all turned aside. They're all together become unprofitable. Who's the unprofitable servant? The one that doesn't bear any fruit. There is none that doeth good. No, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Why? Because when they open their mouth, there isn't anything in there but death. and they speak death. They speak the curse. They're contrary to godliness. They're contrary to the sons of God, you know, to the nature of the sons of God. The righteous shall live from faith. They will speak life, right? And with their tongues they have used deceit. Oh, there's some manipulators out there and some liars. The poison of asps is under their lips. Yep, what they speak destroys people all around them. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Yep, their words bring a curse on the people around them and on themselves. Your words are a fire that burn you up, God says. James spoke pretty much about that too, didn't he? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. He's not talking about physically, he's talking about spiritually. You're against other people. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Boy, this is so true of a lot of people that call themselves a people of God. There is no peace in their ways. You can't make peace with them. They will get offended with you no matter what. There is no fear of God before their eyes, because when you point out to them what God wants, they get angry with you. They don't know. God's looking. It's like they don't even believe in God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it speaketh to them that are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. So you see, the law has a reason. The law condemns. That's what the law does. It condemns you as a sinner. That's what the law does. And that's a good purpose. Because if a person doesn't think that they have to confess their sin, doesn't have to agree with God that they are a sinner, they're in trouble. You first confess your sin, then you turn and confess the Savior. So by faith, are you still sinners? Well, why haven't you come into the New Testament if you're still a sinner? They say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You're not both. If you're saved by faith, then you're not a sinner anymore. If you're confessing that you're a sinner, what are you going to be? You're always going to be a sinner. Get unto you according to your faith. The faith causes things to be not as though they were. And he goes on saying, all the world may be brought under the judgment of God, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So you can have the rules and the regulations in your mind, thinking about these rules and regulations about what I must do and how I can do this. And Lord, I am going to do better. And yeah, no, you're not. You need to look at the cross, at the Savior. He took your sins away. You don't have this problem anymore. And every step that you take against it will be victorious, because you know you've been delivered of this. You can move against sin when your faith is in God, because His power is your power. So, who needs to be justified after you read verse 10 through 18? Everybody has to be justified. And you're only justified by faith. That means believing that God took this away from you. So by the works of law, literally, numerics says there's no word "the" here, because he's talking about all law. He's not just talking about the law. He's talking about laws in the New Testament. You may say, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. You can't? Who is it that does this in you? Who is it that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure? Are you saying God can't? Are you saying you can't? See all the sinner preachers out there that say you're always going to be a sinner because you can't even hope to overcome sin. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the gospel. They're sinners themselves. They can't give you something that they don't have. Because by the works of law, that's what it says. There's no numeric pattern in the word "the" there. Shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, sometimes it uses "the law" when it's talking about the law. Okay. But there is no word "the" here. Because you can go to church and they might moralize you real good and say, look, this is what the Bible says in the New Testament. You can't do that. You say, yeah, I can't do that. So you try and you fail because you haven't put your eyes on the gospel, on your eyes on Jesus Christ. And the preachers are actually doing the devil's work when they get your eyes on yourself. I'll tell you another instance. When I was in Louisiana, before we moved from over there, I had a vision of myself and my wife sitting in front of our house, looking at the power lines that were drooping down, almost touching the ground from one pole to the next in front of our house. We were observing this, thinking on this, when a tornado came over that fallen power line and swooped us up out of our chair and carried us away. Now, before I go to the second part of the vision, I want to say that the power line was man's power coming to an end because we rest. See, we were resting in those lawn chairs and those power lines were just dipping almost down, touching the ground. They were coming to an end. So as we rest, because we have faith, you see, if you believe that Jesus already took away your sins, you can rest. You can enter into the rest. He calls it Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4. And he curses those that don't enter into the rest. So when you believe the gospel that he did take away your sins, that he did nail them on that cross, and now you're free from sin, quoting Romans chapter 6, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. While you're resting in faith, because you don't have to do any work, because God's already done the work, so therefore you're just resting in faith, trusting in God. Then the power of God takes over. He takes credit for the whirlwind, does he not? Yes, he does. So it picked me up and it picked us up and carried us away. Next thing I see, I'm going through the front door of this church building, what they call a church building. And I go into what they call a foyer, and standing in the middle of this foyer is this old man standing there. He was actually the preacher of this church. He was the old man, though. He was preaching in the old man, not in the new life of Christ. And I just kind of like hugged the wall getting around this guy like he stunk or something, you know, like he was a rattlesnake or something, you know, and I just stayed as far away from him as I could and still pass around him and go into the assembly room of the church. And so when I went in there, I saw this big double sink. It was full of babies. And either all or most of them were dead. But I ran over and I grabbed this baby up out of the water who was face down in the water, not face up towards the light. You know what happens when you're in the water, which is the Word of God, and you're face down, looking towards the earth, looking towards your flesh, looking towards the things that are instead of the things that are not. Calling the things that are not as though they were, looking towards the earth. You drown. You die. And so I grabbed this baby up out of the water and turned him over and faced him up towards the light. And the baby spoke. The baby said, thank God I knew he was going to send someone. And I knew that these babies were dead in this sink because of that preacher out there moralizing them, telling them what's right and what's wrong, condemning them constantly for their evil and their wrongs instead of giving them the gospel. And they died. Has Paul said the same exact thing? He was alive apart from the law once, but when the law came, he died. In other words, the law showed him what his sin was, and he died. But we're supposed to bring people to life through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes. The good news is that Jesus took away your sins already and they're not there anymore is something that we can forget very easily. Even people that have been in the Lord for years and years stumble and begin to say, oh, I failed the Lord. I could have done better. I didn't do it again. Lord, I'll redouble my efforts. No, flesh can't save flesh. God is the only one that can save you from your flesh, right? So you have to give him faith, because he says you're not justified by works. You're not going to save yourself from this. It'll either be on God's terms or it won't be at all. So repent. Change your mind. The righteous shall live from faith. Life comes from faith. That's what that verse is saying. You want life instead of that death you walk in? It comes from faith. He made you free from sin. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. Therefore, you're not there anymore. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You were crucified with Christ. You don't live anymore. Believe the gospel. I'll read that verse 20 again. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For through law, know thee there, through law cometh the knowledge of sin. Now in the New Testament, isn't it the same way? The Lord gives you a word there. He tells you this is sin, this is not. And you can take that and apply it to yourself and you know, by your own works, attempt to bring it to pass. But now, apart from law, not thee, apart from law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested. Apart from law. Well, how do you get apart from the law? Well, you get under grace, that's how. Apart from law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So that's the law. The law is witnessing to the fulfillment of the law in the New Testament, which is what we learn from Jesus and the apostles. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are accounted righteous. You're justified. You're accounted righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And it says, unto all them that believe. For there is no distinction. So it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. We all become one through grace by our faith. But you have to remember to use your faith. And you have to remember to don't waste a lot of time condemning yourself, because that's just the devil. He's trying to take away your faith. You can't have faith and condemnation at the same time. He knows that. He points out your sins. Look what you've done. I think Paul just did that. There's none righteous? No, not one. And just that whole list from 11 through 18 or 19. He just did that. He showed you. Boy, you feel pretty condemned when you hear the law, right? But the way to overcome the curse of sin and death is not through the law. It's through grace. And the only way to get this grace is to exercise faith, calling the things that be not as though they were. Like Jesus said, Mark 11:24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. If you're condemned, do you believe you've received anything? No. It's just the opposite. You're condemned because you still have it. You didn't get rid of it. You didn't overcome it. So there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, because flesh can't save you from flesh. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Freely means not self-effort. It's grace. It's unmerited. It's unearned by you. It's freely by His grace. Being justified, being accounted righteous is what that means. Being accounted righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, when you enter into Jesus Christ, you have that redemption. You don't have that redemption outside of Christ. You have it in Christ. How do you get in Christ? By faith. Calling the things to be not as though they were. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a hilasterion, it's a covering, the blood covering. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. You have faith in the blood of Jesus. You have faith that God washed you clean by the blood of Jesus. You have faith that that blood is now your blood, not your parents' blood that passed on sin, the sin nature to you. He made reconciliation, meaning an exchange. It was His blood for your blood. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and blood for blood. See? He made an exchange. His life for your life. He gave you His life. He took yours and He nailed it on the cross. You are free from sin. Believe it. Confess it. And then take your steps. While in this frame of mind of faith, take your steps against the sin. How many of you have thrown cigarettes away because you believed that Jesus delivered you? And you got deliverance from it. You no longer had to worry. You were amazed, you know. Or alcoholism. These are outward things. Many things are inward things. Doesn't make any difference. They're both the same before God. Nothing can stand before what Jesus did at the cross, if you believe it. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime. That means the sins that you've done up till now, He's passed over them. You have a Passover lamb. Exodus chapter 12. You eat the whole lamb, you have a Passover. The destroying angel cannot condemn you. He cannot destroy you. He has to pass over you and kill the Egyptians. Because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime. In the forbearance of God. Now you just keep on remembering your sins and He'll remember them too. If you put them under the blood, they're under the blood. If you walk in willful disobedience, you have no sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26. So you don't have any choice. You either walk by faith or you're always going to be a sinner, just like the preachers have talked you into, right? Because they have no faith either. For the showing, I say, of His righteousness at this present season, that He might Himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. See, He's just. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Don't say God's not just. Don't say He won't forgive you. If you confess your sin, first of all, you have to agree with Him. It is sin. Let God be true and every man liar. It is sin. So you'll be justified in your words. And might prevail when you come into judgment. You see, the Passover lamb, you eat the Passover lamb, and the destroyer will pass over. You can prevail because you accept what Jesus said about you and what He did for you. He saved you from sin. He delivered you from sin. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. Don't say you're under the power of darkness. Don't you know, if you're confessing your sin, fine. But then turn and confess the Lord. You are not under darkness. Where then is the glory? It is excluded. Well, of course, you can't do it. You've tried to do it. You've failed every time. The devil's told you so. And he points it out every time you do it. So if you've got no hope in doing it yourself, why don't you turn to God? Why don't you rest? Why don't you watch the power of man come to an end and the power of God take over? See, because as long as you're trying to do it, God's not going to do it. Your power line is up there doing real good, you know? So, you can't brag on anything, because by the time you get your deliverance, you know it didn't come from you. And you knew that all of your self-effort wasn't going to bring it to pass. By what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by a law of faith. See, the law of faith is stronger than the law of sin and of death. The law of faith is like gravity. You know, gravity causes water to run downstream. But when you got your eyes on the Lord and you got your faith on the Lord, you can float upstream. You can go against nature. You can go against human nature. It's supernatural. If you've got no faith, no, you're going downstream with most of the rest of Christianity. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. There is no thee there in the original. There's no numeric pattern in the word thee. They just put it in there because they thought God made a mistake. So anyway, a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It's not the rules and regulations that change you. It's the rules and regulations that tell you that you've sinned. That's as far as they can go. The law could make nothing perfect. They can't perfect you. Okay. If you are left alone with your law, you're going to be condemned as a sinner. If you get your eyes on the Lord because of your faith in what he did at the cross, and you take steps. See, casting down the cigarettes, that's a step of faith. It can be a step of faith. If you're trusting that God already delivered you from this curse. So you take the step of faith, and guess what? You find power from God that you never had before. But you could try and do the patch and everything else and fail. And finally just give up and smoke your way into cancer. Right. Verse 29. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yea, of the Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Well, amen. The Jews, he will justify them by faith. They cannot be justified by the law. Their covenant passed away in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. They deny it. Christians who are Judaized and have that spirit on them, they deny it too. They deny the Lord. But it passed away in Jesus Christ. And he shall justify the circumcision by faith. That's the only way he'll do it. And the uncircumcision through their faith. Amen. So if you're talking about natural circumcision, just remember, there's only one way, your heart to be circumcised. It's not the knife of man that can cut away the flesh from the heart. Do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish the law. And, excuse me, the word thee here is not in this particular point. We establish law. Because it could be a law in the New Testament. Many people treat the New Testament as though it's a law too. They have that relationship with God. Of God, I know what you want. I'm going to do it. Get out of my way. They missed the whole point, didn't they? What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, and he's talking about his works here, he hath whereof to glory. In other words, he could keep every jot and tittle of the law the best he knows. He don't know them all. That's a big problem. It's a big book. Lots of things written against you. But if you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, he's nailed it to the cross. That's what he says in Colossians. If Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not towards God. He could say, hey, I did pretty good. You know, I quit smoking. Some people did. My daddy was lost, and the doctor told him one day, hey, you don't quit smoking, Mr. Eels, you're going to die of cancer. He said, okay. He quit it. So he had smoked for 40 years. He quit it. He didn't know God. So he could say, hey, I quit smoking. Hey, what's the matter with you? Can't you quit smoking? Well, if you find enough reason, you can quit smoking. If you really think you're going to die if you don't, you can quit smoking. But most people can't find that much motivation. And you can't do this with everything. You have to get rid of every sin. Sure, some people under the law, I kept this rule, I kept this rule. Oh, but what about this one? Oh, no. Well, then you're still a sinner. That's what Paul said. Well, you're still a sinner. Or you just can't win like that. So you got to get under grace. God made it possible through grace. So you can brag to people that you did this or you did that, but you can't brag to God. Everything that you receive from God, when his works are manifested in you, you won't be able to brag about it because you didn't do it, and you know you didn't do it. You had faith in him, and he did it. For what says the Scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now, I'll point out to you, as I've done it before now, is that this had nothing to do with salvation. He believed God to give him a son. And God said he was righteous. See, some people think the only thing they have to believe God for is the salvation. Oh, I'm saved. Yeah, but do you walk by faith in the Word of God? Do you believe every jot and tittle of the Word of God? Are you walking by faith that the Lord has healed you, saved you, delivered you, etc., etc., etc.? Do you believe it? Say, well, my faith is not there yet, David. Well, then don't deny the Word. Do not deny the Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't deny God. If he says it's right, it's right. You say it's right, and he'll help you. You deny it so you can be right, he won't help you. Now, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of a grace. In other words, yeah, you can try, and work, and maybe have some success here and there, you know, but if you don't get it all, you're still a sinner, according to the law. So if you want to get under grace now, you can have all of your sins taken away at the cross. Isn't that awesome? Now, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace. See, you can only be saved by grace. Sorry. Can't accept it any other way. God won't accept it any other way. You can take your medals up there to God and show them to him, and you won't be able to enter the kingdom with that. The reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. In other words, you owe it to me, God, because I did it. No, it ain't going to work. But to him that worketh not, look at that, worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly? Well, yeah, when they walk by faith in Jesus. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Why is it reckoned for righteousness? Because righteousness is not manifested yet. You're just believing God. But he considers you righteous when you believe him. When you work, it's a filthy stench in his nostrils. You're thinking you didn't even need a Savior to come and give you this gift from God. You're thinking you can do it yourself. You might as well have been under the old covenant. In fact, a lot of Christians think that's just about right, so they go back under the old covenant, trying to be justified by the works of the law. And it's a stench in God's nostrils. Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works. Ooh. David pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoned righteousness, accounted this person righteous, apart from his works. His works were failures, but God was reckoning him righteous through his faith, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How do your sins get covered before God? You walk by faith that Jesus took your sins away, nailed them on that cross, and gave you his life and gave you his righteousness. He overcame every sin you're struggling with. He did it on the cross. It is done. It is finished. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Now, how is he not reckoning sin unless he has sinned? You see, the person still has their sin, but they're not reckoned as sin because they're walking by faith in God to deliver them. They're walking by faith because Jesus already delivered them at the cross. He bore their sin. The Lamb of God that taketh away, that was present tense back then, taketh away the sins of the world. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? Aha! Okay, well, now wait a minute. When you believe God, even before you're baptized, your faith is accounted as righteousness. But the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's certainly true. If you believe in baptism, and then you have the seal, which is the seal of circumcision, the seal of baptism, and you do faith of that works is dead, and you do the work after you've believed God, that becomes his work. That is his work. You see? And you're justified. But while you're just believing, are you reckoned righteous? Absolutely. Watch. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Oh, he was still uncircumcised. The sign of the covenant, the seal of the covenant, he did not take yet. But he was reckoned righteous because of his faith. And when he heard, of course, from God that God wanted him to be circumcised, he did. Because people who walk by faith in God have obedience also. You understand? But the faith comes first. And when the faith is there, see, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you don't know about baptism, and you don't get baptism, and you die, but you walk by faith that Jesus was your Savior, are you going to be in heaven? Absolutely. But if you know about baptism, then you're accounted either a sinner or not. If you know about it, and you know that God's commanded you to do it, and you say, well, I don't think I need to do that. Just your own reasoning gets in there. Well, then you're going to be counted as a sinner. See? So if you don't know about it, you're ignorant. Well, there's a covering there, but there's no covering for willful disobedience. But Abraham wasn't circumcised yet when he learned about faith and he walked in faith. You know what? Abraham failed God for many, many years not believing him for this son. It was in the last year that he repented and believed God, and God brought the son. Well, God doesn't say anything about all that. He's the father of the faithful. Well, he won't say anything about your past sins either. If you repent and turn from them, he won't even remember them anymore. He said so. So repent. Change your mind. First, agree with God, because he can help you. Say God is true. Every man's a liar. Even your old man is a liar. But God is true. Let him be true. Right? And then he can help you. So, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision. See? Same thing with baptism. Same thing with anything else God wants you to do. If you believe God and you're walking by faith in him, you're not afraid of anything. He will do the work in you. That he might be the father of all them that believe through, though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned unto them. So even before you overcome your sin, even before your heart is circumcised of that flesh, you believe God, and he accounts you as righteous. And what if the devil comes along and says, hey, you haven't overcome this sin yet? Yeah, but I'm believing God, and I'm accounted righteous. And the father of circumcision to them who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision. For not through the law was the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. He finally believed God and bore fruit. He couldn't bear fruit for all of those years because he didn't believe God. His words identified him in unbelief. The words of Sarah also identified her unbelief. When they finally believed, God did the work. They couldn't do it. They tried. Sarah tried. She got in the flesh and got Abraham in the flesh. Right? And that the handmaid couldn't fulfill bringing forth the fruit of the chosen seed. She couldn't do it. That was all flesh. And when they went through all of their steps to try to bring it to pass themselves and finally gave up, then God came back and he preached it to them again. And they believed. And they bore fruit. Do you have to go through all that? Aren't those examples in there for us to make a quicker path to God's power? Because we realize that we really can't save ourselves. We can't fulfill the word of God. For if they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. Yeah, if you could do it yourself, well, okay. But the promise is not doing it. For the law worketh wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there transgression. You see, this is a great thing about the New Testament too. In the Old Testament, you are held accountable to every rule and regulation, even if you did not know it. Read it in Leviticus. But in the New Testament, if you're ignorant of it, now I'm not talking about things that people know are sin. There are lists of those. I mean, outward immorality that even the pagans know better. Okay. No, I'm talking about the finer points of the law, things that you don't know and don't understand, what it is to walk in godliness, right? For where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this cause, it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed. In other words, not just the powerful, not just the wise. God didn't choose many of these people. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he tells you that. Because they're always trusting in their wisdom and their strength. not in God. So, this makes it possible for everyone. Everyone who has faith. So that the promise may be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The father of us all. So we walk by faith, we're sons of Abraham. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were, so we do too. We say, since Jesus took away my sins, I don't have them anymore. We say, since Jesus delivered me out of darkness, the devil has no power over me anymore. We say, since Jesus made you free from sin, you are free from the power of sin. Reckon yourself to be dead in sin and alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Did you notice that? If you reckon yourself to be dead in sin but alive unto God, you let not sin therefore, in other words, in this way, reign in your mortal body. Wow. Why are all the dead preachers not understanding that? They don't have faith. Who in hope believed against hope to the end that he might become a father of many nations? In hope he believed against hope. In other words, in the natural, there was no hope. No way. He considered himself. He considered Sarah. He said, can't happen. But he believed God instead, who is supernatural and all-powerful. God can deliver you from sin. He can bear fruit in you, but you can't bear fruit in yourself. It's like picking yourself up by your bootstraps. Try it. Your nature will not work against your nature, because it's who you are. You just do what you are. Everybody does what they are, unless God reaches in and creates something that wasn't there to begin with. See, this is how the sons of God are manifested, by God. See, we're just the dirt. The dirt can't be any better than the dirt. But the Lord can plant a seed in the dirt. It didn't come from the dirt. It came from heaven. He just poked it in the dirt, you see. So don't look at the dirt and expect the dirt to be your salvation. It can't get up off the ground. It is the ground. It is the dirt. It's the seed from heaven. Oh, how do you get that? You have to believe God. And see, this separates the true believers from the false. The church is full of false people. They're not believers. This separates them. So shall thy seed be, he says. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body, now as good as dead. He was an old guy. He being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So this is just impossible, right? He was believing against hope, right? Yet looking unto the promise of God. He quit looking at Sarah. He quit looking at himself. He started looking at the promise of God. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief. You look at yourself very much, and you look at Sarah, and you're going to unbelieve. You'll have plenty of it, you know. Oh no, this is just totally contrary to nature. This just can't happen. Well then, you don't get to float upstream, do you? He wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured, like I said, he didn't start out this way. He started out with all of his self-effort. That was all works of the law. It was all okay, God, I know what you want done. I'm going to do it. We'll take care of it. You need some help. Yeah. Well, his power is made perfect in your weakness. If you won't be weak, he won't be strong. If you're going to be strong, he's going to be weak. The more you commit it to God by faith, the more he can handle it. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, maybe you're in the wrong place. You shouldn't be in that church. I mean, you shouldn't be in the church. You need to be a believer. If you haven't yet become a believer in the power of Jesus Christ to save and to deliver to the uttermost, then stop wasting your time with religion. Wherefore also, it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. He was righteous because he believed God was able to do it, even though it was totally impossible in the flesh. And the preachers run around saying, yep, it's totally impossible. It's totally impossible. Just accept your forgiveness. That's what they say. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him. Well, in other words, accounted unto him as righteousness, right? But for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And who else? You. You were in Christ when he was resurrected from the dead. The word of God was in Christ when he was resurrected from the dead. That same word, when it goes into you and you receive it by faith, you are receiving the Jesus Christ, not some dead religion. And you too will have that resurrection life, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have peace so long as you're thinking it's your responsibility to come out of sin. God's responsibility. He's the one that's the Savior. It's your responsibility to repent and believe. Repent. Change your mind. Say, I do not want this sin. Yes, I have sinned. I am wrong. Forgive me, God. I do not want this. But I believe that Jesus took away my sins. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. See that? We have our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You have no access to God's grace, his favor. It has to be his favor. As I've said so often, a dog is a dog. He's got no hope of being anything but a dog. God would have to reach down out of heaven and change his heart. That's what grace is. A son of God is not a son of man. A son of man is a dog. A son of God is just that. You have to be born from above. God has to reach down and give you new birth. And he does that, he says, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. No condemnation there. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he did at the cross. You have peace with God. And the devil's always there trying to condemn you. But if you don't have enough knowledge to say, I don't accept condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And some people say, who walk not after the flesh. That part was added in there. You see, there's no condemnation when you are even before the circumcision, before the flesh is cut away, there's no condemnation because you walk in by faith in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvingness, and approvingness hope. So you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried to see if you're going to believe the gospel. And hope putteth not to shame. Hope is a firm expectation. That's what hope is. The biblical word for hope. Putteth not to shame. Because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to go to Romans 7 and share something there. Romans 7. I'll just start in verse 7. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Oh, God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the law is telling you not to do this sin. But you're doing it anyway because you have the sin nature. You may say, well, I'll quit sinning. Yeah. Well, if you got the sin nature, you're wasting your time. You have to go to God by faith. He gives grace. When you get the grace, you'll walk away from the sin. If you don't walk away from the sin, you didn't have faith. Because God is faithful to the faith. See, faith without works is dead, because a person who has faith gets grace from God. And when God gives you grace, He gives you the want to walk away from it. He gives you everything you need to walk away from it. He destroys that sin. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. In other words, when the law came around, I found out what coveting was, and it condemned me. The law condemned me for my sin. Right? And I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So the commandment made you a sinner. But it was also according to your nature to sin. See, apart from the law, sin is dead, because if you don't know it, it's not accounted against you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so the law comes, you're condemned, you become a sinner. So is it you that's going to save yourself because you know what the law says, or is it God that's going to save you? It is God that is going to accept your faith and your confession through Jesus Christ, the high priest of our confession. And it's God who is going to turn and give you the grace. All the power to walk away from sin comes from Him. A dog is a dog. And the commandment, which was unto life, this I found to be unto death. For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me. Yes, a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own flesh and enticed. Your flesh is against God. It's the enemy of God. It's the enemy that God crucified on the cross with Jesus Christ. So that the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did then that which is good become death unto me? God forbid, but sin. See, the law just said, this is sin, but you sinned. Your nature was the very nature of sin. But sin, that it might be shown to be sin, by working death to me through that which is good. God said, don't do this. And you do it because you are a sinner. But there is a cure. And the cure is only faith. Not rules and regulations. It's faith. That through the commandment, sin might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, you read the commandments because you want to know what sin is, and you become, you begin to abhor what is sin. You have a fear of God. You want to please God, so you abhor what God says is sinful. See, some people don't even have that. They don't fear God, and they don't love God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They don't love God. Because sin to them is not abhorrent. Sin is something that they just need to justify themselves against, you know. Build a wall against, you know. Or make up a doctrine. You're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. Except they don't get saved by grace. My goodness. Verse 14. But we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Yeah, the law is spiritual. For that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. So he's saying, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, I do. That's what he's saying. But what I hate, that I do. He hates to do it, but he's doing it because it's his nature to do. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's giving you his revelation of what he found out about sin and how to be delivered of it. So if it's true for him, it's certainly true for us. Right? This is the great Apostle Paul. But he wasn't great through his own works. He was great through what God did in him. And that he would tell you if he was standing here today. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So he said, first of all, you've got to say that the law is good. You have to say that the New Testament word is good. It's right. I'm wrong, it's right. Okay. If what I would not, in other words, I do not wish to displease God. I don't wish to sin. I don't like sin. I want to please God. If what I would not, that I do, so I don't like it, but I'm doing it. You see, I consent unto the law that it is good. I'm saying, God, you're right. Your word is right. I do not deny your word. I do not deny you. So now, it's no more I that do it. Wow. You know, this is, here's the revelation, folks. So now, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So if I agree that this is sin, and I don't like it, and I don't want it, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. That's what God says. You don't want it? Okay. That's step number one. You repent. You do not want it. Now, what do you do now? Okay. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. No hope to get delivered of sin there. Right? No hope whatsoever. Abraham believed against hope that he would bear fruit, that Sarah would bear fruit. But he had no power to bear fruit. And you don't have power to bear fruit either. And I don't have power to bear fruit either. The Lord has power to bear fruit in us. It was a miracle from God for them to bring forth the chosen seed. You know who the chosen seed is in you? It is your spiritual man. You got no power to bring him forth. No power. God's got all the power. Now you got to get him to use it. The way you get him to use it is you believe that Jesus took away your sin. You believe that you were crucified with Christ. You believe that the old man is dead and the new man, that is the chosen seed, is now yours. You believe with Abraham and Sarah, that you can bear fruit because of God. And he's realizing this. He says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. He said, I don't have the power to do what God wants me to do. I want to do that, but I don't have the power. For the good which I would, I do not. The good I want to do, I don't do, he says. But the evil which I don't want to do, that I practice. The evil which I would not, that I do. Okay, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, if I will not to do this, but I'm doing it because it's my sinful nature, it is no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. It's the sinful nature. It's the old man. Hey, the old man's crucified. He's dead. He's gone. That's what the word says. Don't count him as alive. Can you consider yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God? Don't consider yourself alive unto sin and dead unto God. That's what a lot of people do. There's no power in that. There's no faith in that. And you can't be justified that way. And so, since you can't be justified or accounted righteous, you can't have grace. Right? I find then the law that to me, who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh yeah, people who are born of God in their spirit want to please God. They don't want to make up goofy doctrines to help them to be where they, the same way they are today, tomorrow. They don't want to be justified in themselves to stay like they are. That's the wicked that do that. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. It's the law of sin and of death. Just as sure as you sin, and you will, because it's in you, you will die. That's the law of sin. Okay? But there is a law that he just spoke about, the law of faith, is stronger than any law of sin. I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Here's somebody warned to please God, but he was in captivity. What did Jesus say? Isaiah 61, he came to set the captives free. You're no longer in captivity. Why? Because he made a law of faith that is stronger than the law of sin and of death. He said, the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Well, who did that? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ did that. He crucified your old man on that cross. You were crucified with Christ. Now the new man, the Isaac, the chosen seed, that new man, the fruit of Jesus Christ, that new man who you had no power to bring forth, you and Sarah, no power to bring forth. God does it because you believe him, because he justifies you when you believe him, and because he accounts you righteous, he gives you this gift of grace to do exactly what you could not do before. In verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God. In other words, he has a desire to serve God. God, this is what I want. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So he was living contrary to his own wishes. and he didn't know a way out. He said, the way out is I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, it's a gift given from him. Right? And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How are you in Christ Jesus? You're in Christ Jesus because of your faith, primarily. And you're in Christ Jesus because of the obedience that comes from that faith, secondarily. Right? If anyone says that they are abiding in Christ, let them walk as he walked. Well, that's the secondarily part. You can't walk as he walked without the gift of God. And he will give that to you if you will first believe. You have to believe first. The works come second. The works of God come to you as a gift from God by grace. Second. First, you must believe. Right. So there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because he's just condemning. The devil just comes to condemn the old man. Well, we know about the old man, but he's dead. We don't have to worry about him anymore. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. That's the old man, but alive unto Christ, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. Now there's the real good news right there. First, I want to back up just a little bit. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And then the King James Version adds a text there that has no numeric pattern in it whatsoever. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, if you walk not after the flesh, but walked after the Spirit, why would you be condemned? It's an oxymoron. The two cannot be in the same sentence. See? The Lord is the one who causes you to walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit when you first believe. And you're counted righteous when you believe even before the circumcision happens. There's no condemnation to the person who's believing. They're counted righteous until they're made righteous by God. They're counted righteous until they manifest righteousness as a gift from God of grace. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, you can put all the laws on you they want, but that, you know, you can accept all the laws you want, but you can't do righteousness because of the sinful nature. God has to do that. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in your flesh. He condemned it to death. That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, you can put yourself under the law and never fulfill the law. That's New Testament. Fulfilling the law is New Testament. Having righteousness that is a part of your nature is a New Testament gift. But the law could make nothing perfect. God complains. And so what did he do? He chose another covenant. Read it, please, in Hebrews. He chose another covenant. Found that the first one could not make... He knew it all along, but... He wanted first people to admit that sin was a transgression of his commandments. First, you've got to come to that point. Then you can go on to be delivered of the sin nature. First, you have to admit that you have sinned. That's what the law does. It condemns. But grace gives you the deliverance. Grace comes when you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Jesus took away my sins. I hold fast to that confession of my hope. The high priest of my confession is offering this before you. so that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you be in the flesh and be walking after the Spirit? Well, of course. When you walk by faith, that's what you're doing. For they that are after the flesh, in other words, people that are going to justify themselves and they're going to go after the flesh and they're going to say it's okay, are they going to say they're under the blood, God sees me through the blood, therefore I can continue to be a sinner? No, these are not the people of God. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They just give in to their flesh. They don't think they have no way to conquer it. They've tried, they've failed, and so now they've given in to it. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death. Doesn't matter whether it's in a Christian or a non-Christian. The mind of the flesh is death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So have the mind of the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you have the mind of the Spirit? You have to have the renewed mind of Jesus Christ. You know what you're supposed to be believing. You know what you're supposed to be confessing. You know you have to hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. You know these things. See, some people, they don't want to consider that doctrine at all. Oh, even though it's in there in black and white, they don't have any hope to be saved of their sins. And so they make up a doctrine that lets them continue to live in their sins. What they're saying is, I don't accept the crucified life. I'm not going to my cross. I'm going to continue to live. Don't try to put to death my old man. I'll get angry with you. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity, or the enemy of God. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God. And so that's why the fleshly so-called Christians make up all these doctrines that permit them to live, to permit the old man to live and sit on a church pew and live. They won't take the crucified life. They won't take the power from God to be saved from their sins. See, you're saved from something. You're not saved to sin. That's what they think. They're saved so they can sin. No, you're saved from sin. They don't even know what salvation is, and they don't know how to exercise faith to receive it. If they've received a new spirit, they still walk in the flesh, and they put to death that spirit man. You see, it's supposed to be the other way around. When you receive a new spirit, you walk after the Spirit and you put to death the carnal man. Walking in the Spirit is walking by faith. You understand? Walking in the Spirit is confessing those things, calling the things that be not as though they were. Walking in the Spirit realm is saying and believing what God says about you. That's walking in the Spirit. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. See, God's not going to save your flesh. He's going to give you a new body. He is not going to save your flesh. He condemned it to death. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When you say you're going to obey the Word of God, you're going to fail. Because flesh can't save flesh. They're not against one another. It's only the Spirit that can do that. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, which is the born-again Spirit, right, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Not just the Spirit of Christ. He tells you very plainly, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't even belong to Him. If you don't have a born-again Spirit, in other words, the Spirit recreates Christ in you. First Spirit, then soul, and then ultimately body. He recreates. That's what His job is. So, if you received a new Spirit, you've received the Spirit of Christ. Okay. But now, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because after you receive the Spirit of Christ, after you're born again, you should receive the Holy Spirit. Because He will give life to your mortal body. He shall take of mine and declare it unto you, Jesus said. Look, read the book of Acts, you folks that haven't done it yet. Find out what happens to you when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. They all recognized something happened. They became spiritual beings with power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. He said you'd be a power to be a witness. What is that? A witness. Somebody who is a witness of Jesus Christ. He didn't say witnessing. He said witness. This person is a witness of Jesus Christ. When you look at them, you see Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we must die. You must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's conditional. Who's he talking about? Brethren. Oh, so they're born again. They have a new spirit. Yes, but he's telling them if they walk after the flesh, they will die. Brethren. Notice that. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. How are we going to do that? Since Paul gave that great confession in the end of chapter 7. Well, we walk by faith in God, and He does it. He does it freely. Well, thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us, giving us wisdom, granting us grace. All these things through faith in your beloved Son and everything that He did for us. Thank you, Father. We receive it today, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. Hope you're encouraged in the faith and that you won't give in to sin. Let God be true and every man a liar.